Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you would have corrected. You would have said, "Don't." You were probably cringing as I asked the question, Jason Nolan, because you're a music man. You said, "Jason Nolan, oh, not even close. Cher way above J Lo. Not even the same ballpark."
I was following you actually on that.
I meant that she could perform for the rest of her life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she's always going to be that, but she wasn't the pioneer as Schulman, certainly that Cher was.
Well,
she's not been the pioneer.
The bar for that comparison is a Vegas residency that you could just keep selling tickets in month after month after month. And who's done that so far? Shania Twain's done that. Adele's done that. Britney Spears has done that. J-Lo, I don't know if she could do that.
Let me ask you this. Better movie career, her or Cher?
Cher has had, what is it, Moonstruck? Or
Moonstruck and Mask. Where her son
Step
is...
Step out of it!
But
yeah.
Moonstruck, she won something.
And those
for
are legendary performances by her. And also rare performances by her in terms of her...
But that's two there. Have there been many more?
Burlesque was one, it looks like. Cher movies.
Moonstruck, I want to tell you, what was award-winning, critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, she won something for... And then she was great as the mom in Mask, where she had the deformed
Mask
son.
Mask was a big one.
Oh, man, she had the deformed son. I don't think she won anything for it, but she had she was great as mom in Mask.
Yeah.
Again, you'd have to hold up some of J-Lo's best just to come close to those two. Because, again, she was biker chick mom in Mask.
Well, and there's some early ones, too, we're missing.
Son was the elephant man, basically.
Back in the 60s, she was doing Bonnie and Clyde. She did King Kong in 70. I mean, there's an early 70s.
And she had the variety show and everything.
Yeah, she's kind of, I mean, I remember when Sonny passed away in that, was it a ski accident, remember? Sonny Bono passed, and they were divorced by that point.
But ran to a tree.
Might have been a tree.
Something I remember.
And I just remember, even though they were separated, how shook she was. And then, of course, her love life. But I will say, J-Lo has, obviously with Rodriguez, and then returning to Ben Affleck.
Who looks absolutely miserable now. He looks like he made a mistake in taking her back.
Did you see that his daughter surprised him at the game the other night? And I didn't realize she's a college student from his, I guess, previous marriage or whatever. But I think Cher might be a little above now that I'm thinking about it. Above poor J-Lo.
It's,
I don't mean to pile on J-Lo.
I was naive. It's not even close. But J-Lo is. I would say if we're going to say divas, then you have to put
she's up there.
J-Lo tier two. If
If
Cher's tier one, who's up there? A Madonna's up there.
Madonna,
Beyonce, Swifties obviously up there.
Yeah.
You know,
is Janet Jackson up there?
Well, what Justin did to us hurt us.
Yeah, the brassiere thing.
JT hurt our career.
Yeah, he did.
He really hurt us. And his career didn't hurt as much from it.
Patti LaBelle comes to mind, and that the whole generation.
Oh, Patti got to be up. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, those are the goats.
Tier one.
Those are tier one.
J-Lo's not up in that level.
No.
She's got to be tier two or tier three.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to put her tier two. Her longevity.
Divas ever.
But again, the music. Not many just
Here's
critically
who came up.
Acclaimed hits or movie.
Here's the top page pulls up on Google when you say biggest divas ever. Madonna, Aretha, Diana, Mariah, Cher.
Diana, we have to have Diana in there.
Beyonce, Whitney, Celine, and Christina Aguilera are who are on the top page.
And you mentioned Taylor in there, right? She has Taylor's to be in there now with what she's accomplished.
Yep. They have, well, here's it, and then there's lists of this stuff. There's all sorts of lists of this stuff.
J-Lo, not tier one.
I think she's two.
That's what we learned from Jess today. If that is highest she
number
is
two
is tier two. That's for J-Lo. Two. I watched Atlas on Netflix. A lot
it's
of
a
you
bomb,
all
huh?
probably going to be a waste of your time. I was, you know, it doesn't take much to
now, having said
me
that,
and
I think J-Lo is one of the most beautiful celebrities in the
game. The woman
game.
Is 54. The
I mean,
woman is,
she
I just
is
told you, she's
outrageously good looking.
She's running around chasing robots, shooting guns. I mean, again, I'm sure there are a lot of women in Hollywood who are like, you know, that should have been my part. Why are you giving it to
right.
J-Lo?
Yeah.
Again, this the script for this was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Two. I'm not the only one that
I'm reading some reviews on it, though, and it looks like a good concept that maybe went a little too far.
Well, it's hard to understand at some points.
Yeah.
But as I said, USA Today gave it 2.5 out of 4.
Well,
so that's not just an altogether waste of time.
That's good.
Some of you all will find a slight bit of entertainment in it, like my son and I did. Some of you all will be tuned out, like my wife
was. Is it kid appropriate for a CJ?
Yeah, it's fine. There's a few curse words.
Yeah, that's fine.
But actually, with the kids these days and the AI stuff, and sort of the syncing with AI and how it's taken over, the kids are
okay.
The kids are in. They're looking at this stuff already. With the AI stuff.
Yeah.
Brad, you know about the AI stuff.
I am
It's scary. It's taken over the world.
It is taking over the world.
And that's kind of what this movie's about.
It is taking over
the world. It's not a new concept or new premise.
No.
It's old, but we are getting closer to it where it feels like, oh, Skynet could be a reality.
And
that was back in the Terminator days when we were talking about this. Now it feels like we're closer to where something like that could happen.
After years of rejecting it, I now embrace it. I do embrace it now because it's inevitable. I mean, because it's going to be part of our world, whether we like it or not.
Let me tell you something. I didn't appreciate Drake having Pac AI on that song, you know, on the blast, on the disc. Because again, are you asking Pac?
Pac's dead. You can't ask his permission.
And then maybe even more uncomfortable, you're doing it with Snoop.
Yeah.
But Snoop doesn't even know he's on it, and Snoop's still alive.
Oh, that's a problem. You got to get
well,
there because
it's
set.
Well, and it was a problem for Pac's estate. They put the cease and desist on that thing.
Well, there you
but
have
you're
it.
Using AI both on a dead guy and then on a live one.
Right.
Why didn't you just ask him to be on? Because he wouldn't have agreed to be
that's
on.
That's right.
But so you got to be careful with the AI.
You do.
You have to be
John Lennon,
careful.
The Beatles did put together a new song, and they got John Lennon's estate to approve it, so.
Yeah, how was that, though?
Then is the name of the track.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I heard Jeffrey Wright talking about it. It doesn't sound
like. He didn't like it?
Not critically acclaimed.
It was fine.
It
got some airplay.
Everybody just says
it's fine. It sounds like this could have been a Beatles song. That's about all
we're
say
living
about.
We're living in iRobot times. Y'all better embrace them like Brad has.
Long after you and I are dead, they'll be like capturing your voice and putting together
We won't even
shows.
Be here. It'll be a computer sounded.
It's the Jason and John show. We'll live on forever.
Yeah. Just took our words and just used our voice.
There it is.
You just plug the thoughts into a computer, roll it. Don't need us anymore. It's scary. Skynet coming, taking over. We'll take over in hour number two with the rundown. It will take over. We'll do that when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now let me see you lean and rock with it like a boss. Now let me see you lean and rock like a boss. Now let me see you lean and rock with it like a boss. Now let me see you lean and rock like a boss.
Hour number two coming to you from the Leaders Credit Union Studios here at 92.9 FM ESPN. And let me tell you something about Leaders. They're here for you, and I'm not just saying that. They're serious. 70,000-plus members in West Tennessee, and they've expanded their business into Memphis, got the brick-and-mortar branch now up and operating in Bartlett, have broken ground on a new one in Arlington, but that ain't all, baby. Their intention is to be here in Memphis to spread throughout the city. You want to launch your savings, you're not sure where to start, your credit union or bank and doing a darn thing for you. How about a forward plus high yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union? No minimums, balance tiers or restrictions keep you from growing that money and championing your personal finances. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. To open your account, visit leadercu.com/ESPN, special page just for our listeners, and they'll waive those membership fees if you use that promo code ESPN. And talked about how serious they are about growing their business into Memphis. They'll be one of the presenting sponsors for the Shelby County Pro-Am League this summer. Nothing more Memphis than the Shelby County Pro-Am. It's the new bluff. Now, the Shelby County Pro-Am is. We've done it now for the last several summers. Sounds like they're moving from Orange Mound Community Center over to Crosstown. Should have a nice, in terms of crowd and everything else, be a nice atmosphere out there. And Leaders will be unveiling their Balling to the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program. You stay tuned for more updates on that. Told you they're serious in putting their money where their mouth is about growing their business in Memphis. Again, if you're frustrated with your bank or credit union, make up the switch over to Leaders. Visit leadercu.com/ESPN. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, some review, quick review. We won't spend a lot of time on it because, for the most part, your Eastern Conference Finals one-sided, as evidenced by the sweep the Celtics put on the Indiana Pacers last night. Derek White, we had talked about how key he was. I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown, your MVP, and Jason Tatum had an argument. He could have been MVP, too, averaged 30, 10, and 5 for this series. But it was the glue guys like Derek White, Drew Holiday, and it was White's tie-breaking three-pointer with 43 seconds left last night that helped put Boston ahead for good. End up winning 105-102. It's done. It's done. And as much, again, as we've talked about the two stars for this team, and when were they going to step up, and who's going to step up? Well, Jaylen Brown had the entire series, had a 40-point game, and also hit the huge three there at the end of game one in regulation, at the end of regulation in game one, to send it to overtime. He was fantastic all series long. And if you saw him get that Larry Bird Eastern Conference MVP trophy afterward, he looked absolutely surprised, said he never wins anything. And I was happy for him. You could tell there was genuine joy in terms of him winning it. He's used to deferring in terms of stardom and everything else, and his place. He didn't make one of the three NBA All NBA teams. Was 16th. Tyrese Halliburton, the man he was playing across from for at least two games of the series, was 15th. And so we talked about him having a chip, and he certainly played like it all series long. But White, 16 points, hits the big three in that one. Also had five steals. And then you saw Drew Holiday get the big steal at the end. You know, Drew Holiday sticking his nose in there, getting 8-9 rebounds. That Drew Holiday with his championship pedigree coming over from Milwaukee by way of Portland has been a huge addition for them. And I think not just filled the void that could have potentially been left by them moving on from Marcus Smart, but filled it and more. In terms of what they bring to the table, Marcus Smart, great leader. Drew Holiday is all that and then some, and particularly at this stage of his career, in terms of you compare him to Marcus Smart, you can trust him more, even more defensively and offensively. Drew Holiday's brought a ton to the table. And Derek White seems like he's become just as effective a two-way player as Drew Holiday is. And so you've got two of those guys. Didn't even need Kristaps Porzingis in this series because Al Horford in Game 3 is dropping seven threes in a 23-point performance. Xavier Tillman is got some run this series. You wondered if he was ever going to have to even get up off the bench in terms of the chances he's got now to win a ring. Saw him out there, obviously, with Porzingis down. You know, they just had too much. But it's the depth and how quality a depth that it is, again, a champion in Drew Holiday, that was the difference for them. There are levels to this. Like we've said, it was sort of that theme first hour. Anthony Edwards in Minnesota's learning that in terms of from Kyrie, Luka, and from Dallas. And clearly the Pacers, who had every chance
right. In
three of these four games to close those games out, the first one, game one, particularly because you had Tyrese Halliburton on the floor. He's the one choking at the end of the game. You had every chance. You're not ready for this level, clearly, and it showed in this series. All due credit to Boston. They took it from the Pacers team that was not ready for this.
This is the Celtics series. This is a different team. I think they're better without Marcus Smart.
Man, it looks like it.
I think they're better
especially
without
Especially when
Marcus
you have Porzingis.
Yep. Yeah, they've got a better team. I saw them in the preseason because we went on vacation during the preseason last year, and I got to see a preseason game. and you can see how awesome they are. And then the you mentioned the Drew Holiday thing. Like, Drew Holiday is the, like, if I'm no disrespect to Marcus Smart. Again, I hope everything you said is right about the last time we saw him scoring points and doing all this
three
stuff.
Three straight games, but like, before he went out.
You would rather have him than Marcus Smart. There's no doubt about that. He's a great player. He's a great role player. He's a great starter. He's a great guard. And then you add Porzingis in the mix, who didn't even play during this Indiana series.
Yeah, well, because it was Brogdon Smart. They've upgraded tremendously with Drew Holiday.
It's not close.
And with White, who they can now trust.
Yes.
You know, to be sort of the same player. We mentioned White had 16 points, the key three late, and five steals.
Derek White is unbelievable. He's going to get paid. I mean, he's going to get more
money. I don't know how he's managed to remain so efficient offensively with how much effort he's putting forth on the defensive end. It's been really impressive, and it's felt like it's lasted all playoffs long.
Yes.
Hasn't just been one or two of these series. Drew Holiday, 17 points. He gives you eight rebounds. Had some key offensive rebounds down the stretch there late. And so they've got the two studs up top, and Jaylen Brown sort of getting his due after missing the All-NBA teams by winning MVP. They've got the two studs on top, but they've got everything else that you need as a championship team, the quality of the depth, you know, what they're bringing to the table in terms of doing everything else. That's what's going to separate Boston, I think, from well, you know, again, we may as well just say it, from Dallas. You know, Minnesota's not coming back in. Nobody ever has come back from down 3-0, although the Celtics gave it a pretty good shot there last year in terms of trying to come back from down, but they lose Game 7. Nobody's ever done this. We can pencil Dallas in. Just think the difference in terms of the depth and how those guys have been here or have stepped up in a way that now feels like they're playing at the peak of their powers, particularly guys like Derek White, who has just stepped up to another level. You add Kristaps Porzingis and his impending return at some point to the mix. So you've got more, and it's not just Al Horford out there by himself. And these Celtics are going to be tough. We won't talk too much about it, but obviously Game 4 tonight, and the Minnesota Timberwolves trying to avoid the same fate as the Pacers in that game. Won't talk about lines or anything. We'll do that at 12:50, 12:45 when we do fade Brad. But I think the thing about this series, and as much as we've talked about Kyrie and sort of being newly motivated, remotivated after having a sort of silent series against OKC, or certainly a down series. He was less than 20 points per game. He has exploded, but really the story is Luka and what he's made them and how ready for this moment he feels, particularly when you're doing it against a Minnesota team that at one point looked so ready when they're knocking off the defending champs, but now looks like they've reached a level where, you know, whether it's the combination of having Kyrie, who's won a championship with Luka, or just Luka himself, it just feels like you're just like with the Pacers and the Celtics, you're seeing teams at two different levels. Now, I didn't expect Dallas to be like this.
No.
I didn't expect them to be this consistent. And a lot of it, like we've talked about, is how hugely impressive they are on the defensive end now after making the moves for Gafford and Lively. For Gafford and P.J. Washington at the trade deadline. That's a big part of it. But they have, and Van Gundy said this, and he's probably, you could throw a couple of tandems up there, maybe even the Splash Brothers. But in terms of backcourts all time, having Luka and Kyrie Irving together is almost as good as it gets, like in NBA history.
Yes.
You could put them up offensively in terms of their offensive skill level up against any backcourt tandem in history.
Yes.
And you would have an argument that you have the best with Luka and with Doncic.
And the reason
that's what Van Gundy's been standing on. This is from an offensive standpoint. You can't put too many above them.
The reason why I picked Dallas and I thought it would go seven is because of the youth. And then I thought it would be better to have an amazing backcourt than the frontcourt guys of Kat and
Gobert and Nasri.
Now, Nasri's played really well, actually, and Kat has not played that great, comparatively speaking. But, like, you'd rather have some of these bigs that are just tall and have the backcourt that Dallas has.
Well, when you can make those guys so much better and play bigger because of your ability to pass, throw alley-oops, and get them involved.
You like said it best in that open. You actually just need tall people who can hang around the rim.
Our athletes, rim runners.
Just
he's going to make you a threat.
That's what they did.
And Kyrie does the same thing because he can penetrate and do the same thing.
It's like a pitcher who just throws gas. You just need him to do that.
Because you would never, Brad, you and I running offense, we would never throw the ball into Gafford or to Lively and say, go get us a bucket.
Go get a bucket, right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're supposed to be, in a way, offensive liabilities.
It's wild,
and yet you make them huge threats. Kyrie's gone from averaging, we mentioned it's 16 last series, kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Two single-digit scoring games in that six-game series win over OKC. He's now averaging 28 this series on 53% shooting. So Anthony Edwards absolutely woke him up, including the 33 in the last game. But again, I want to be clear, Luka is the major difference.
Yes.
It's 33 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds per game in this series, and he's shooting 41% from three. Like, remember, the three-point touch was off earlier in these playoffs because he was banged up. It's all the way on in this series. He's 13 of 32, and like we talked about, you've got his perimeter presence and the step back that he can hit. My Lord, did he talk cash, you know what.
Oh, I saw him
Rudy
yelling
Gobert.
In his face. Well, Rudy
cursing
was doing him dirty. Rudy was doing some dirty stuff, in the gut, throwing punches.
So I was watching Vince Carter real quick on an alt cast that I got stuck on for a hot second on that game, and he was saying that Rudy and Doncic's hate, disdain for each other goes back to international play.
You can tell they don't like each
other. When Doncic has met France and they've met there, that they have something that has trickled over into the NBA.
You can see it.
I mean, Luka went out of his way to embarrass that man with the crossovers. And then the way he cursed him, talked ass, stuffed, you cannot guard me, but with some expletives on it.
In his face.
He put him in the blender.
But Rudy was doing going for the ball and punching him in the gut stuff. It was dirty.
Back to this, and you were the number one defense in the league all year long, and there were times against Denver where we're going, holy cow, if these guys bought in defensively, look what Minnesota's doing. Why do they have Rudy Gobert stuck out
perimeter
there on guards by himself?
No idea.
Are you not blitzing Doncic and forcing him to pass the ball? I don't care if it's Kyrie or somebody else.
I'm not going to let
him beat me. Making Rudy, who he owns, he's faster than, as he told Shaq, I ain't that fast, but I'm faster than him.
No, and
I'm
he looks goofy out there on the perimeter.
And you got him one-on-one, but this wasn't just that game. I mean, they've allowed Rudy get stuck out there by himself.
Looks goofy.
Too often in this series.
Yeah.
And so whether it's Kyrie or whoever out there putting him in the blender, they haven't done him any favors sticking him out that high and not, again, bringing over a second guy on a double team. But anyway, Dallas in complete control of this series. We'll see what Brad thinks about it in terms of the spread when we do fade Brad. But, Boston, impressive. Don't take credit away from them in terms of talking about how much Indiana blew it. Yes, Indiana blew it, but Boston absolutely deserves this. This was expected. This trip to the finals, and I would tell you now, even with as impressive as Dallas has looked, and as much as they have opened our eyes, it goes back to what we have said now, particularly once Denver was put out by Minnesota. There are no excuses for the Boston Celtics not to win a championship this year.
Next story.
So you asked what I did over the weekend in terms of TV. I did not watch the J-Lo, was it the Netflix special? Atlas on Netflix?
It's a movie.
Yeah, I missed this.
And not her documentary, which is really weird. But, and then you couldn't see Cardinals baseball sweep Cubs.
Because I'm going to be cord cutting soon so I can figure out a way to watch them.
I did see
Sunday Night Baseball. The ESPN carried the Cubs game on Sunday.
Yeah, it was delayed or whatever.
So they waited until 6:30, 7 o'clock for a day game. And it was basically Sunday Night Baseball happening in Sunday night after a rain delay.
I didn't watch. I don't know. I've cursed my Cubs.
How's those Cubs doing after being so
excited? I'm going to be quiet. I was just talking about Stephen A. and Sports Karma and how he was blowing it, and I blew it myself. Highlighting
how
the Cardinals.
How are we feeling?
Highlighting the Cardinals' flaws a couple of weeks ago. Look what it's done to my Cubbies. We are headed downhill. It's like Atlas. We're crashing in space.
I was down in Senatobia, Mississippi, at a place called Woodchucks, and it's one of those axe throwing places.
Oh yeah.
You know where you go in there. And
my wife's been to one. I've never done it.
The one cool thing about Woodchucks is down in Mississippi, if a 16-year-old wants to throw, you can throw with your 16-year-old. You only have to be 12 in that place. Mississippi doesn't even give an S.
I see.
Sign a waiver and come on and throw that woodchuck axe. So we went to Woodchucks and saw the end, and this is where I'm going with this. The end of the Tennessee game against LSU, where Tennessee wins not only the regular season conference title, they win the conference tournament championship.
Right.
They're also number three, the number one consensus team in the country for number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament.
Congrats to the Vols.
So shout out. I know that's not good for Memphis fans, but yes, the Vols had a really good baseball season. Now here's where I'm going with this, because we have a lot of Mississippi State fans in the area. We have a lot of Ole Miss fans. Really, Ole Miss fans, I'm sorry Mississippi State eliminated you early in the tournament here. But Mississippi State, the big controversy is that they're not hosting despite having 20 SEC conference wins. Counting the SEC tournament, the Governor's Cup, they won against Ole Miss, 16 wins against Quad 1 teams, a KPI ranking of 12th, an RPI top 25. and they selected instead East Carolina from the American as the 16th, and they were selected the final host team. And this has been a controversy, Jason, because as you pointed out to me before the show, they've got some folks from the Carolinas, specifically the ACC in that area, and the East Carolina connections, who are part of the chair committee for the NCAA tournament regional site selection. So Mississippi State fans are fired up, Jason. We are not hosting at Starkville a regional this year, but they are in the tournament.
So I got a text, believe it or not, about this yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Let me hear about this.
From a close friend.
Who's a Mississippi State fan?
Who told me that you were going to be upset.
I was upset.
That you and other Mississippi State fans had a real gripe.
We got a beef.
And he told me, in case you didn't hear, there were some shady decisions for the NCAA baseball tournament.
Inform me.
So it backs up what you're saying here.
Yes.
Florida got in.
Yep.
With a 28-27 record. Florida AD was on the committee.
Oh, dirty.
Kansas State got in with a 32-26 record. Kansas State AD was on the committee. Coastal Carolina finished 7th in their conference regular season. Their conference tournament went 0-2. They got in. Guess what? Their AD was the committee head. To top it off, and this will make Brad mad. This is literally, this person singles you out. So ECU got the last regional host.
They're hosting. They are hosting.
Last regional host site as the 16 seed. Mississippi State did not receive a host site. Guess what? The ECU AD was on the committee.
Joke!
So this, my source has tied it all together for me.
It's a joke. It's a joke. They screwed this up, and the East Carolina specifically in the hosting, that's a bunch of
bull.
That's
what I said. So one, so as my source tells me, and again, I'm reading, so one of the best sites in college baseball at Mississippi State, and one that will easily sell out, is not a host.
Is not a host. Arkansas.
See how informed my host is and how informed he's got me now on the college.
It's unbelievable.
Y'all got jobs.
You got some good information,
yeah, how about that? And went on down through there.
Wow.
Selection committee took care of selection committee, didn't they? Didn't they?
Dirty.
Especially, like you said, this ECU one.
The ECU one's egregious.
Got the last regional host site as the 16th.
Yes, that's egregious.
How is that? And Mississippi State's been, like I said, y'all would sell that out.
Here's the Pirates of ECU had a similar RPI ranking in Mississippi State at 22, but a significantly worse, here we go, strength of schedule was 71st in the damn country, Jason. The Pirates won just 5 quad 1 games. They lost 6 between quad 3 and quad 4 opponents. So they got jobbed. There's just no doubt about it.
I don't think we could make a stronger case that they got jobbed.
They had one common opponent. Mississippi State played Memphis twice and they won twice. East Carolina played Memphis 3 times and they won all 3 against your. I'm sorry, they beat Memphis 3 times.
Well, that wouldn't say much this year. Rebuild your program,
yeah,
Reiser.
You know, though. Matt Reiser trying to pull it together.
He had some people. We had quitting on him this year. I saw the video.
Y'all need to support Matt
Reiser. At the end of the year, he had to call him out.
Yeah, he was calling out people, Matt'll figure it out. He's been down in Louisiana. He should put it together.
Well, the turnover there doesn't help anything.
No.
Right? That you've had to move on.
Yeah, you lost Kerrick Jackson after 1 year, who went to Mizzou.
That's not easy.
And here's the other thing. Now your AD's following him, so you got to figure out your AD situation too at Memphis. So hopefully he's as nice about baseball as. Laird Veach was about helping out the baseball
program.
Now
you look at the job with, I mean, you already knew, you know, the possibility of this coming, but with that settlement now and just this sort of formal, feels like break off of what the Power 5, really Power 4 can do from you just wonder how that affects. Again, I would still point to, okay, Laird Veach was on, you know, unlevel playing ground beforehand, right, still managed to make this thing attractive enough that it made him attractive to those SEC schools. I mean, you can still sell that as the springboard, but what has not changed is how tough the job is.
Yes.
How tough the job. I mean, there are so many questions going forward about, you know, are we even going to have, is the American going to even take a chance at saying, well, we're going to try to do this too, $20 million. No, you would say no, right? But schools like Memphis, what if they want to take that chance? So the way they're positioned now, can you even have that chance? It doesn't look like it, but back to it. Even with the FedEx money coming in, and at one time, you know, you got your renovations coming, you now own Simmons Bank, you face as many challenges as ever before as that new AD at Memphis.
Specifically related to Memphis baseball, while we're on the subject of this, and Matt trying to turn this program around from this year after just having a season to do it. First of all, he had to recruit on the fly. Second of all, Matt did point this out to me because I met him early in the fall, and he said The challenge with Memphis also is you are playing against baseball teams, not just football and basketball, but in baseball. Like East Carolina is really proud of their baseball team. Tulane is really proud of their baseball team.
So they put a little more
team.
In.
Yeah. If you look at Rice, these high academic institutions, not only NIL, but also they're really proud of their baseball program. So it's going to be hard for Memphis to get their they've got some competition in baseball, unlike football, where they should just friggin' run the conference, it seems like, in football.
The conference, hopefully on our way out of here to the ACC.
That would be nice.
That feels like the only lifeline's going to open. Big 12's yep. already told you no.
So just to wrap a bow around this, Tennessee.
Congrats to you, Vols.
Congratulations to the Vols, number one overall seed. They're, of course, hosting, and I'm sad about my Bulldogs not hosting it.
I hear the Vols not very good in the College World Series, have not been historically, at least.
They have had a hard time once they get through the SEC. Yeah,
and so, Vols, congrats, but we're going to need to see more from you if this is real.
Well, and their rivals, Vanderbilt, has had great success in the College World Series.
Like, y'all ain't Vandy yet.
Not there yet.
But the number one overall seed, you said?
Number one overall seed.
Congrats to them on that. Let's see more.
Next story.
All right, we got to see, speaking of let's see more, and we got to see more from Penny Hardaway, especially after last season. And I follow Parth Upadhyay over at the Daily Memphian, and I saw some good news yesterday when he tweeted that Jared Harris, the one signee in the class, the one freshman that you'll have coming in for the Tigers this year, along with Tyrese Hunter, the Texas transfer, Musa Cisse, we talked about, and then Tyreek Smith, the transfer from SMU, have all arrived in Memphis. And so that makes all nine scholarship guys on the roster, all except David Jones, on campus for and ahead of the start of the June 1 summer session. I believe June 1 falls on what, Saturday? So ahead of what Penny Hardaway had said, you know, his target date to get these guys in here earlier. And he had mentioned that last offseason, wasn't able to do it. You know, Jaquan Walton, Javon Quinley, there was weird July guys. Jordan Brown was later on. And then obviously, you know, in terms of Naquan Tomlin, that was even later. You're talking about a guy that, you know, was midseason, essentially, in terms of additions. And so while Penny Hardaway had said, if I'm going to work the transfer portal, I want to get guys in earlier. I want to get them in first I can for summer workouts, June 1. It didn't work out that way last year. And, again, a lot of that's Javon Quinley. You know, you miss out on the Bradley kid from Alabama, the point guard that ends up at Arizona after you had him on for a visit, and that's what it does. It sets you back. Well, Penny Hardaway so far hasn't been set back to a point in terms of missing out on a bunch of guys and having to go to second and third options here. So far, at least it appears, the one he's gone after, gotten. And so you will have the majority of these guys here. You have them right now here other than for David Jones. So that is good news. I'm with Jess Benson that it doesn't. I asked her this question, and we were going to have it there in the opening segment before we got cut short. Asked that question, like, does it, you know, can this be beneficial during the season? Because we just saw a team that looked great on paper last offseason. We loved the additions, loved where they were ranked in terms of transfer portal additions, everything else. We just saw it all come apart after a 15-2 start, a start that saw you vaunt, you know, jump up to number 10 in the country. You know, does really getting them in here earlier, again, a team that looks okay on paper, especially if you have David Jones in it, is it really going to matter? You know, come December, come January, come February, like it did, you know, last year when it looked good for so long midseason, then it all falls apart. I would say this: while it's not what I said to Jess, it's not the fix.
Mm-hmm.
The fix has got to be in season. The fix has got to be, and maybe part of that is preseason and early. Some of these summer workouts, you're defining roles and making them more clear. And so by the time the season starts, guys are falling into that role, and you have less of chemistry issues in terms of I'm the guy. But you don't figure that out in June. You don't figure it out in July. And so getting them here, no, is not a fix, but I would think, Brad, that it can't hurt, that it can only help in terms of that process. We just saw how sort of throwing it together late can come back to bite you. And again, still a lot of things in that, you know, in that pot that made it all come apart for Memphis last year, including losing Caleb Mills, so some injuries involved there. But it all did. It fell apart in a way that it never should, especially when you reach a point as high, that ceiling as high as Memphis's was last year. You've got to find ways to combat that. Better chemistry can be part of that, and you can add to better chemistry. You can add to that effort by getting guys here earlier. However, it's not going to be, this does not promise Memphis is making a tournament next year or making a run in a tournament. But it is a good thing when, again, you identify a goal. It was identified last year. You didn't meet the goal, didn't check the box. This year you have. The other news this weekend that sort of popped was that Memphis has got a visitor here. I believe he's here today, that came from Parth 2.
Yep.
Hidman Hoops had also tweeted about this over the weekend, that Memphis has a new target, its newest, Portuguese 6'4 guard Daniel Vieira Tuck. Vieira Tuck has played in for Portugal in the FIBA under-20s. Last year, I think, averaged 15.5, according to Hidman. It looks like, or 15 points per game in the 2023 FIBA World Cup. Looks like, again, and here's the scholarship situation with Memphis, is you've got, what, three more. If you've got David Jones here, you've got three available, for counting David Jones. Who, oh, by the way,
okay.
We should get a decision on by tomorrow, come 10:59. We talked about that deadline for college guys to get back to college and maintain their college eligibility, got college guys that are testing the waters.
Yeah.
Well, Vieira Tuck, you know, maybe a guy that you're bringing in for depth, looks like a playmaker extraordinaire. I'd be interested, really interested in terms of his shooting percentages, because, you know, other than Kobe Rogers, you know, in terms of consistent three-point shooting, I'm not sure that you've brought a ton in, although we do like the additions, particularly as they relate to, you know, Penny getting back to his defensive identity. That's not to say you haven't brought in scorers like you did last year, but I just wonder about three-point shooting. Jordan, again, one of those guys that's returning. The only guy that you've got returning, perhaps, you know, hopefully David Jones is with him. He did shoot 40% from three last year, and Penny has talked about using him more on the wing, but I still feel like there are shooting questions, and I'm not, you know, with Vieira Tuck, you'd wonder if he can address some of that. But known primarily for playmaker, getting to the rim. Again, international guy, you just never know what to expect. You really don't. And I you know, Penny has talked about maybe not using the rest of his available scholarships, or at least all of them. So my hope here is that, you know, whether it's a guy that you're going to have in your program for a couple of years, or a guy that can help you immediately, maybe in terms of some shooting, I don't think you're not going to use these scholarships if you don't see some value in the guy. Again, whether it's helping you over the long haul or helping you right now with some shooting, with some ball handling ability. I tell you, seems like they got enough ball handlers at this point with Tyrese and with P.J. Haggerty. Those guys are going to be on the ball.
Yeah.
Kobe Rogers is a guy who came over last year having the ball in his hands, you know, shooting off the dribble. Penny Hardaway's talked about that. And so I would have to think Vieira Tuck is going to be, again, down the road in terms of paying off for you. But we mentioned, you know, Penny Hardaway doesn't need to. We said the way to consistency and continuity, you're always going to be adding transfer portal guys, but adding a majority of them or a good deal of them as multiple-year guys is the way you get back to that. And so hopefully, again, Vieira Tuck, who is visiting reportedly today, if he decides to stay here at Memphis, hopefully this guy that's got multiple years. So a little bit of news there on the Memphis front. All guys currently signed in the transfer portal are here in Memphis ahead of the June 1 summer session starting, so that's good news. David Jones hopefully going to give the Memphis Tigers fan base and the program more good news by tomorrow at 10:59 as he gets set to make a decision on whether he'll stay in the NBA, keep trying that, or come back to Memphis. And then we'll keep an eye on what happens with Daniel Vieira Tuck and see if a commitment, Brad, is on the way. But by my count, looks like three scholarships available. So Vieira Tuck potentially would take one of those.
Next story.
All right, so since helping with the show over the last month, you have made me the official Caitlin Clark correspondent.
You're our Caitlin Clark beat reporter.
And so
I appreciate you.
Checked in with Caitlin over the weekend, and guess what? We had a win this weekend.
I saw it.
You watched it?
No, just the highlights.
You saw the highlights.
I'm not watching the Fever. They're bad.
It was Caitlin Clark's.
They're getting over the top, man.
Her first win with the Fever, the Fever's first win as well, her first double-double of the year. Clark had 11-10 as the Fever knocked out the Los Angeles Sparks, who, by the way, also only have one win. Now, here's the really good news. Now,
What's happening then? That used to be a proud franchise.
Yeah, proud franchise. They got injury problems right now, Jason.
Okay.
Injury problems with Alamond is out, and also Azura Stevens is out with an arm issue.
Injury list on the Sparks.
So that's part of the problem for the Sparks. Injury problems, plus the Fever are going to be at home tonight. By the way, they are favored by 4.5 tonight at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Now, here's the better news. If you're a ticket buyer in Indy, you might have had to pay, you know, $200, $300 for that opening game. Tickets as low as $2 for tonight's game at Gainbridge.
I told you it would wear off a little bit.
$2.
As we found out, there has to be a transition period
for
not just for Caitlin, but for this team.
$2.
Hopefully hopefully our coach. What do you? Now we've been keeping tabs on her.
Yeah, the Fever coach.
Hopefully she cooled down her seat a little bit with that win over the weekend.
Indy Fever coach. I still think never fade James Wade would be better than Christy Sides, who is the current
Sides, coach.
Yeah.
Sides.
She's hanging in there.
She cooled that seat down a little bit with that win over the. Now desperate Sparks.
Yeah, so the Sparks are going to be desperate because these are the two bottom dwellers in the East and the West, respectively. But Caitlin Clark, good to hear that she got a win. And for fans who want to buy tickets, buddy, you can go. You can sit anywhere in the stadium probably for $5 to $10 over in Indiana. So that's your Indiana Fever watch and your Caitlin Clark watch, Jason Smith.
I appreciate it. I got one more update.
Next story.
Before we get to Fade Brad here on the other side of a break, Mike Tyson's okay.
Oh, did he do his fight, his exhibition this weekend?
No.
Oh, that's coming up too, isn't it?
It is.
What's he got going on? What's going on with Mike Tyson?
What's going on?
What's going on?
It's a fight with Jake Paul.
Oh.
That's coming up in July.
Yeah.
And no, he hasn't done it yet. He had been in training for it. He's in the middle of the training for it. He's 57 years old, but we had a scare on a plane. He had an ulcer flare-up. Many thought he was dealing with, serious enough that they had to land the plane. Medical professionals had to come on board and everything else. He was flying from Miami to L.A. on Saturday.
Whoa.
When he started feeling sick. The American Airlines flight was almost at LAX, but the boxer was in so much pain. Flight attendants asked if there's anybody on board to help him. There was quite the scene. Most folks on the plane didn't realize it was Mike Tyson. They knew somebody was in. Was in trouble. So I guess they did. They got it. They did end up landing at LAX. Didn't have to have an emergency landing, and they treated Tyson on the spot with paramedics boarding the plane came on. Yep. His rep says he's doing great now. Again, it all came down to they said it's an ulcer apparently.
Okay.
Rather than a heart condition or anything else, which is good news for Mike.
Yeah,
who, again,
good.
At 57
right.
years old, is about to fight. Jake Paul, who went on last night, apparently, and updated all the stories that people are saying that the fight's going to get shut down, mm-hmm. that it's been called off. He went out of his way to say that, Tyson's fine and in
he's
the wake
do
of
it.
His
he needs a payday,
scare,
probably.
We're still going to do this.
Probably yeah. needs the payday.
Still going to do this in July. Will you be watching? Will you be paying to watch this?
I will not pay to watch it. In fact, I need to pay for less crap. That's
you're
what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to cut
anyway.
All cable outlets off. But I'll probably see the highlights quickly after.
He's been training for it, man. 57 years old, man. Still in great shape. But he's obviously got some internal things going on with the ulcers and everything else. Mike Tyson going to be okay, though, it looks like, for that fight. What is it, a couple of months from now?
Yeah, I figured it was close.
Middle of July, we're talking.
How do you think the results of that fight will go? Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson in their exhibition?
Well, he can't whoop Jake Paul to a point that we don't want to see him anymore because then you stop the money train for Jake Paul that has been these fights.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Jake Paul is paying these fighters a great deal.
Yeah.
They're getting a help. Mike Tyson.
They're getting big paydays.
Getting millions out of this as far as my understanding. And you stop the money train the moment he gets... knocked out, exposed.
Yeah.
Exposed. I will say
lost yet?
No, I don't think in any of these.
That's kind of phony.
That's what I'm saying. That's part of the money
train.
That's why you can keep it going.
Good call.
And you kill that if Tyson comes in here, whoops him, exposes him as a fraud, whatever else.
Yeah.
I will say the guy's in good shape. Like, he's done a good job of working on boxing technique and everything else so he doesn't just go out there and look like you or me out there.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do know what you're saying.
There are times where he looks like a boxer.
Yeah.
All that said, he ain't interested in stopping the money train. So some way or another, they'll have this where he survives, even if he takes the loss, to where you want to see him again, all of his followers, and all of his prime people and all that
stuff. It is one of the perils of this sport when you lose a Conor McGregor and he gets beat up, because now the rap on Conor McGregor and the grappling is that he pisses out after about two or three rounds. He can't go a full round.
Well,
can't go a whole fight.
You tell me. I mean, who in the UFC draws you in?
There's nobody now. I'm sorry. There's just nobody that comes to mind. All the guys I follow were back in the Matt Hughes era. We're talking 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like
maybe our man Danny Barlow at one point will be that.
I would love to follow
from Memphis.
He's my guy. He's the only
Barlow.
One I can think of.
But that's the point. Like there aren't those. It doesn't feel like right now there's that guy in the UFC that makes even fringe folks like us are typically that are not subscribers to a UFC event come in to watch.
No reason to.
And then have you seen, I can't even tell you what his name is, but the heavyweight champ now that has all of the belts. He'd just be Tyson Fury, if I'm not mistaken. He now has all of the belts unified, but most people don't even know his name.
John Bones Jones?
No, not UFC. I'm talking about switch over to boxing now.
Okay, sorry.
Just talking about how there's really nothing. Mm-hmm. And this guy that now is, I think,
he's a nobody. You're right.
He's the unanimous champ, has all the belts.
It looks like he's Russian. Olsalar Usyk. That's what I'm talking
about. Dude, Usyk. We used to, Mike Tyson, we would tune, the heavyweight, even with Lennox Lewis.
Alexander Usyk.
That's what I'm saying. We don't even know his name.
I didn't know this guy.
And so
what it's allowed, back to the point,
the Jake Pauls of the world to do is to give you a quote-unquote attraction in the fight game, a big-name attraction, in this case, him and Mike Tyson, because I'm not tuning in on these others. I have to be a real fan of UFC now to know that Danny Barlow's on the rise or, like one of these other guys that's there now. Just, there are some, but there's nobody like Conor McGregor that pulls them all in the way they used to have him. And, I even go back to the days of Rampage, out of Memphis.
Rampage
took over the UFC there for a little while. And I don't know who that guy is for them right now. But we don't have that guy in boxing.
Nope.
And so that's how the Jake Pauls of the world can keep on making a ton of money off of this as sort of what should be a sideshow becoming a main attraction.
He's
not killing the money train anytime soon.
I enjoyed 20 years ago, and they're legends of the sport. Chuck Liddell, you had Matt Hughes, you had
Tito Ortiz was one of those guys.
Tito Ortiz was a stud. Like,
but then he never could, like the big one, he'd always get whooped in the big one.
Another one of my favorites, he's in the UFC Hall of Fame. Anderson Silva, he was a grappler.
Yeah,
and
Silva was awesome.
He would just wrap your ass up. Yeah. He was something, man. Like, those were, so now I don't even keep track. They had Ronda Rousey was big for a while, and then last female that I remember, and then she got into the
WWE, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do enjoy the sport. It just seems like I'm less interested, and now you have these exhibition sports
that's why we need our man Danny Barlow. It feels like there's an opportunity for him to go in and take over as a star. You got to have something. You got to have an it factor and everything else.
He does, by the way. I think he's got it.
And he's got it, but you got to keep winning fights with that. And hopefully he's all healed up from his last fight.
He finished the fight with a broken arm?
Yeah, yeah. Dude's crazy. That's just that South Memphis in
man.
It. Yeah, Westwood, I believe it is.
There you go.
We're going to get to Faye Brad here next segment. All of our Faye Brad bettors very eager to see, now that we've come out of the weekend, knowing Brad is 2-2, where we're at on the season and what he's thinking for tonight's Minnesota-Dallas game four. Before we get to that, I want to tell you, we're in the thick of it in the playoffs now, creeping closer to the finals, which start next Thursday. It's still not too late for you to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. You find out who Brad's on tonight. You fade him. That's a good way to use that $5. Been pretty lucrative. I'll tell you where our percentage is here next segment. Still looking good. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. That's the promo code. We thank you. With new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus is issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.